Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
I want to welcome everybody present and all the ministers of God, Pastor Jayola, Pastor Dansu, Omi Bello, Pastor Bello, and our Father in the Lord, Pastor Sheyo Soyinbi. Thanks for laboring all the acts of unit. I honor your presence and every laborer in the house. Hallelujah. This evening we, by the mercy of God, we trust God for life again. Now while I was thinking on what I was going to share, I just decided to do a little digression from, this is my last session, but I decided to do a little digression from the line we have been following, but nonetheless, God will still bless us. Sometimes, for the sake of the people that are a bit much younger, it's good for us to step some things down a little, and so that everyone can be blessed. Amen. But even when you don't understand what is being taught, it doesn't mean you are not being blessed. Hallelujah. Blessing is not only a function of that I understand something. You may not understand, but this thing is more than just words. They are spirit. So sometimes you may not understand, but you live with impartations. You live with spirit. Things happen beyond, so, but understanding is also very important. Amen. So, I'll be looking at, this evening I want us to consider certain operations of the devil. I want to show this a side of the workings of the enemy, the workings of the devil. That's not a topic. I'm just trying to describe what I want us to look at. You know, yesterday we were talking about the Ogun delay. Some people raise issues around that, and you know that some of these things are preoccupation of certain ministries. But I personally don't believe that should be preoccupation of any ministry. Of course, we have issues. People have, there are, but you don't, if at all you believe that God has given you the ministry of deliverance, then nobody should be a member of your church for more than 5 years. If your ministry is ministry of deliverance, believe that's what God gives you, then nobody should remain in your church for more than 5 years. It means they are not growing. It's like having a baby stay on milk for the rest, having a man stay on milk for the rest of his or her lifetime. That's what it means. Because the essence of the ministry of deliverance is to help you when you are still weak. So when you continue to be there, it means that you are still weak. So the purpose is to cater for you while you are not yet strong. So that when you are strong, you can now fight your battles. Amen. So that's not my emphasis tonight. I want us to, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I want to look at two big major ways by which, you know, the devil, the diabolos, the evil one. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hallelujah. Now we know that when God created the world, when God created the earth and he put man, there was nothing called sin, there was nothing called death. Amen. And like we used to say, in that state, nothing dies. Even man cannot die. Not because he had immortality, but because death was not in his world. Hello? Death was not in his world. Even though he didn't have the power to live forever, there was also nothing to cause him to die. I don't know if you understand that. There was nothing that could cause him to die. So he could just continue to enjoy himself. Even though he couldn't live, he didn't have the capacity to live forever. We know that one. Because when he now sinned, God said, let's eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. So meaning that prior to that time, he didn't have the capacity to live. But there was no death in his world. So wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death came in because sin had gone ahead. Hallelujah. So what Satan did was that he caused the man sin. And when the man sinned, you know, those are two inseparable twins. Sin and what? And death. Anywhere you see sin, don't look too far. You will see what? You see death. Hallelujah. But it's not just death alone, it's death with all his other allies, sicknesses, diseases, poverty, you know, and all kinds of evil. So what I'm saying in essence is this, was that the way Satan was able to have an incursion into the world was because he was able to come to sin. And that have been one of the major access that the devil has always had into the lives of people. It is surprising to say that even Christians. Amen. Now, give us Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. We said it was through sin that death came into the world. What's the connection between, now he said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the what? The power of death, that is what? The devil. So who is the master of death? It's the devil. Amen. So when the devil was pushing sin, what he was trying to do was he was trying to bring the influence of death. Hallelujah. Because he's the one that has the power of death. He's the one that holds, he's the one that controls death. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil is the one that has the power of death. Death has been his instrument. But like we said, you know, I like to repeat things so that by repetition, things stay. Amen. By repetition, things stay. Sometimes you need to hear some things over and over before they stay with you. So it's Satan that holds the power of death. And when Adam opened his world to sin, death came in. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, 1 to 14. It's a little bit long, but let's see. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, yes? Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Please, follow me gently this evening. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, old, withered, waiting for the moving of the water, yes? For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, or whatsoever disease he had. You see, God still left. Is that is there anything like that? Which other nation or that at a time in the year an angel will leave heaven and then enter into a pool And then the first person that entered is healed of any sickness. Is that not marvelous? It's wonderful. Verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" Yes. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me." Yes. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bread and walk." Yes. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Go to verse 14. Because of time. Afterward, Jesus finded him. He didn't know it was Jesus. Afterward, Jesus finded him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole." What's the next thing? "See no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Hallelujah. This is the emphasis. He said, "See no more, lest a worse thing come what? Unto thee." Meaning that sin is an attraction. Sin is a causative agent for sickness. Because look at what, now Jesus has healed this man. He had delivered this man, you know, but now he now revealed the cause of his problem. That the cause of the problem of this man is sin. So Jesus told him, "Sin no more, because something that is even more terrible than what you have can come." Amen. So sin will open the door for some more terrible things to happen. Hallelujah. So we assume that, like, looking at the journey from Romans chapter 5, you know, through and then down to this place, one thing we have been able to see is that there is a strong connection between sin and death and sicknesses and diseases and misery and anything you can call woe. Hallelujah. So what that implies is that if it is possible to actually deal with the issue of sin, there is a high possibility of, but once you can deal with sin, you have dealt with all other things that it brings. Hello? Do we agree with that? Now, but we, interestingly, we also see something in the scriptures. That every woe, every trouble is not necessarily because there is sin or there was sin. Hallelujah. Let's look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his what? From his birth. What was the problem without that man? Okay, that one was impotent. This one is blind. And look at verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that was born blind?" Because every problem, there should be a sin behind it. What's Jesus' answer? Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned, nor what? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Hallelujah. Now, Jesus just showed us something here, because we know sin is the foundation for every crisis, of course. In fact, there would have been no blindness if there was no sin in the first place. Now, but there is a particular problem here. This man is not only blind, he was born blind. Some people said he didn't even have eyes at all, that there was no socket. Amen. Plain eyes. I can't imagine what the best, what that face would look like. Amen. Then, you know, disciples of Jesus, of course, it must have been a sin. But Jesus showed us that, no, he said, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents." He's not suffering from his own sin. He's not even suffering from ancestral sin. Hallelujah.
that this blindness is not connected in any way to any sin, but there is something about the glory of God that should be manifested out of this situation. Amen. But the question is this: was it God that did it? The answer is no. It's not God. It's still the devil. But it's not because of the sin. That's the point. It's still not God that caused the situation, but it's the devil, but not because of a sin. Amen. Follow me. We are going somewhere. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Look verse 11. For the sake of time, let's start taking from verse 19. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man harmed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his what? His spoils. Now, Jesus is introducing the concept of a strong man here. He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, it's good, I say, but there's a possibility of somebody being stronger than him. Hello? Who overpowers him and spoil him. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Then I will bring what I want us to see. Acts 10, 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was what? Hallelujah. Now, there are two major ground of the operations of the devil. There are two major grounds of the operation of the devil. The first one is on account of sin, which we can call legal. The second one is oppression. Hello? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed. What does it mean to oppress? Oppressed means to use my power against you. Eh? It means to do what? To use my, because I am stronger than you. It's like bullying. Hello? It's not as if you have done anything. Hello? But you are weak, I'm strong. Have you ever been bullied before? If you went to boarding school, you know what it means to be bullied. Amen. Or cause of pain of your la, or will allow of biology. You get it. So he said, he went and healed all that were oppressed. Now, this is oppression. Oppression means to come under the force of another that is stronger. Amen. So, it is not every instance. That's why I showed us that scripture. When people are under the bondage of the devil, it's not necessary because there is a sin. Sometimes it is a manifestation of what? Oppression. Hallelujah. Let me show you something in James. James chapter 2. I'm mindful of time. I want to make sure I deliver. James chapter 2. You will see these two here. James chapter 2. Where is this scripture? Where is it? 2:6. Yes. James 2:6. But ye have despised the poor. Look at this. Do not rich men oppress you and do what? Draw you before the what? Do you see the two? They do what? They do what? They oppress you. Why? They are rich. They don't stop there. They do what? They take legal matters up against you. I don't know if you... He said, do not rich men do what? Oppress you. It's not the same. They don't need to take a legal matter with their money. I can do anything. I can oppress you with money. I have the money, I will use it against you. But it's not, it said, and draw you before the judgment seat. Amen. These are not the same oppression. This is oppression and a case of law. Hallelujah. He's just talking about, I'm trying to show us, and this is just Satan's, this is duty, this is how it works. It is either it's a case of oppression or a matter of a legality, because there is a sin, there is a ground to stand on. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 49. You now see why God, Isaiah chapter 49, see this, verse 24, Isaiah 49 verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from what? Shall the prey be taken from what? All the what? Lawful captives. Can you see the key? Shall the prey be taken from what? The mighty. His might. This is oppression. Will the prey be taken from the mighty? Is this person is stronger than him? So he has taken him captive. Not because of anything, but because he's stronger. He said, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? He now said, all the lawful captive. This one is not just about because somebody is stronger. This is not oppression. This person has sin. There is a legal matter. We took you to court. You were found guilty. And then you were judged. You were imprisoned. Hallelujah. So, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? It's the devil that is the two. It's both the mighty, who is the oppressor, and it's both the accuser. Hello? It's both. These are two. What I'm trying to say, these are two under every major. Look at any form of demonic work, whether it is sickness or it is anything, whether it is a family issue or whether it is a personal or it is a national or whatsoever, it is either of two things. It is either it is an oppression or it is a matter of iniquity on which the devil is. Amen. Now, you now see why God now, if you, because of time, we may not need to read. Now, when you now see verse 26, look at verse 26. Verse 26. God now said, and I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, and what? Your Redeemer. Hey. There's a difference between a Savior and a Redeemer. I can only save you when I'm stronger than evil has kept you in bondage. But I can't use might to redeem you. A ransom is needed. Hello? I don't know if you understand this. Hello? A redeemer is somebody who can pay a ransom to secure a release. Hello? Redemption is not because I have armies. It's not because I'm mighty. It's that, can you pay the price? Because this person is in bondage, not just because the person is weak. There is a cause for this bondage. There is a price. So God said, I am your Savior. Amen. Why? Because you are a captive of the mighty. You are a prey of the mighty. I, the Lord, am stronger. I, the Lord, am mighty. I, the Lord, am able to deliver. I am the Lord. I will save you. But not just that I will save you. Why? Because you have also been sold to slavery because of sin. I will pay the ransom to secure your release. Hallelujah. This is God's word to Israel. Meaning that the oppression, the two grounds upon which the devil is troubling you, am able to take care of them. Fear not. Whether it is issue of, whether it is sin or whether it is might or whatsoever, God said, I am your savior. And he didn't just say, I'm your savior. He said what? I am your redeemer. If it is a strong man that has put you in this bondage, I, the Lord, am stronger. He said, when the strong man keep his palace, he said his things are in order. He said, but when the stronger than he, he said, he that is in you is what? Is greater, is stronger, is mightier than he that is what? That is in the world. Hallelujah. We have to understand this thing now because of time. Let me quickly now. So we know that, see, the Lord is, we can't overflow. You know that God is mighty. Look at, okay, no, let's, because of time, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let me quickly touch a little about the issue of our redemption. You see, but before I go there, you see, people talk a lot about, you know, one of the problems we have in this part of the world is the issue of cost. I don't have time, so I won't go deep into this. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, there's one major thing about the cross. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Give us, let's look at it. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the cross costless shall not what? Shall not come. Meaning that a curse is a legal matter. Have you ever seen the judge is sitting and say, bring the case file, and they say there is no case? What's the end of the... So when a curse does not have a curse, meaning that there is nothing legal, there's no ground there, he said it will not come. Now, you remember when Balak told Balaam to come and curse Israel? Balaam could not do it. What did he say? He said, the Lord behold no iniquity. He said, the Lord behold no what? Iniquity in Israel. I can't curse these people. The Lord has not given me permission to curse them. Because you don't just curse. Even though Balaam, but it doesn't just cause. Cause must be attached to a deviation in that line before you can place a curse on it. Hallelujah. So that is the operation. That is how it operates. Now, how many of you believe that when you came into Christ, okay, that's not where we should go first. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let me just... You know, like I said, that the reason why I decided to go this way is that we need to help some of our younger people so that, you know, some of these things can be, they can understand. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Colossians 1, 12, giving thanks, you have to be very fast now, I have to move fast, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, yes, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Look at that. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, the word that he has delivered us from the power of darkness, the word power there is exousia, meaning that the darkness has no right. Hello? Don't say darkness has no power. There is power of darkness, but darkness has no right. Hello? He has delivered us from what? From the right. Amen. But he did not destroy, he didn't annihilate the power of darkness. Hello? He did not annihilate the power of darkness. But he delivered you from the right of darkness to use his power against you. Meaning that every advancement of the devil against you, it is either it is illegal or you gave the space. Hello? Say, I'm not under the jurisdiction of darkness. That's what it means. I'm not under the control. That is the word of God. You need to understand it. I'm not under the control of darkness. Whether it is for sin
or even for physical calamities. You are not, even in the matter of sin, did he not, is that for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have, see, as far as those things are concerned, they are done deal. God has done everything to perfect your deliverance, everything to perfect your redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Amen. We have redemption. It means that every ground upon which the devil has been able to trouble and afflict you, Christ has taken it away. See, your faith is your deliverance. In your faith is your freedom. I'm telling you the truth. In your faith is your freedom. If you believe, so shall it be. If you don't believe, you remain there. Christ has secured everything to secure you. He's not going to do any other thing. There's no additional work. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because, you know, chapter 1 first told us, the previous verse has told us that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. But now, we are now looking at the issue of redemption. I was in bondage. Not just because the devil is mighty, but because I had sins. So, redemption is needed. So, he had to redeem me. He had to pay the price with his blood, with his life. He paid the price with his life, the forgiveness of sins. Now I am redeemed. Every ground upon which Satan has a right to afflict, he has taken away. I want you to tell yourself, I'm free. Let me tell you. I'm not saying you may not have any problem. You may be experiencing a family crisis. But it's not because of a sin. If it is anything, maybe your own sin. But it's not your father's sin. Stop praying, God, all the sins my parents have committed that have caused me to have trouble, forgive me. No. It's wrong. It's like you are saying, when I got born again, it's a you, Gino. Wait, get me right. You know I said it. I said you may be experiencing challenges, troubles. But it is not because there was one sin that was committed in your third generation that God is still holding against you. No, it's not on that ground. It's not on that ground. Because in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That is true and true and true and true and true and true. You have redemption. All the grounds have been taken away. Satan does not have any left. He may just be oppressing you. Hello? He may just be what? Oppressing you. And the reason why he's oppressing you is not because God is weak, but because you are weak. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. But it's not just the he that is in you that we need. There must be, we want, that thing must translate. You must be able to put, I don't know how to put it. Hallelujah. I have just 20 minutes more. Let me look at my note. Let me look at the area that I need to quickly touch so that I wish maybe we can do some. Listen. I just want to help us. We all, even me that I'm preaching, I need this. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I will show you something. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, verse 1, my little children, this is right I unto you, that ye what? Ye what? And if any man sin, what do? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, what? The righteous. Now let me quickly tell you this. Even though every ground that Satan, the devil has against you has been taken away, you can by yourself create new grounds. You can what?
you can create new grounds by yourself. Let me explain something in that Colossians 1. He said, in whom we have what? Redemption. Through his blood, even the what? The forgiveness of sin. Now, do you know the way we interpret that scripture? Is that the redemption is the forgiveness of my past sins. Hello? Is that in whom we have redemption? Through his blood. Even the what? The forgiveness of sins. Now, the way you interpret it, the redemption means that he has forgiven me of my past sins. No, that is not the redemption. The redemption he gave you is forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin is not just an experience you had in the past. It's actually an open door. Let me explain. If I give you a check leaflet and write 1 million naira on it, and I give it to you, you can cash that 1 million, but that's once for a lifetime. That's all. But if I give you a checkbook, hello? If I give you a checkbook and I say, anytime you need money, just write whatever you need and go cash it. The way we used to interpret forgiveness of sin is that when we got born again, he wrote off our sins. Hallelujah. Yes, that is true. He did that, but he also handed over to you a checkbook. Hello? He also did what? He handed over a checkbook to you that anytime if you sin, not that you should be sinning. You see that 1 John chapter 2. He said, I write to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. So if the previous chapter says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just what? To forgive. So forgiveness is not an experience I had in the past. Forgiveness is an experience that I had yesterday, that I have today, that is still open for me tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. So it means that even if I sin, I don't have to be condemned. Hello? If I sin, there's an opportunity of forgiveness. That is the redemption. Then the question you now ask is that then why is it that the devil still has grounds in the life of a Christian? If I can sin and then ask for forgiveness of sin, why should the Satan still have a lesser ground? I will show you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I hope somebody is being blessed by this. Ephesians chapter 4. Where is it? Sorry. Let me quickly check my note. Ephesians 4, where we was talking about... is it Ephesians chapter 4? Yes. I didn't write it in my note. So. Okay. Yes. Verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Ephesians. Be ye angry and do what? Let not the sun go down upon your what? There is a difference between being angry and what? And wrath. Anger and wrath are not the same. Anger is not a sin. Wrath is sin. Anger means you like that. You see, anger means anger. You make me angry. But wrath is a manifestation. You may not see anger. Anger means it's controlled. You can control it. But when it becomes wrath, it has entered into an outburst. It's not controllable again. You have shown something for us to see that if wrath means rage. Have you heard of a raging storm? When you see a raging storm, it destroys anything. That is wrath. Be angry and what? Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Oh my God. What is this saying here? Meaning that be angry, don't sin. That is, don't let your anger get to wrath. But even if your answer has
even if your anger has gotten to rot, don't let the sun go down on it. Why? Because the devil is nocturnal. When the sun goes down, darkness sets in. While the light is shining on your rot, confess it. If the sun goes down, what's the next verse? Neither do what? The moment the sun sets on your rot, the next person you are seeing is the devil. You see how we give place to the devil. Now, are we saying that our Redeemer is not mighty? Your Redeemer is mighty. He said if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to what? To forgive. Now, you were angry. You were not supposed to sin. Now you are sinned. But it is still 2 o'clock. It is still 2 o'clock. Meaning that he that confesseth his sin and forsake them shall what? Have mercy. But he that covereth his sin shall not what? Shall not prosper. So while the sun is shining, quickly confess. That's why Abraham said that anytime he does anything, quickly he does what? He quickly confesses and says, Lord, I'm sorry, and move on. He shuts the devil out. Hello? He does what? He shuts the devil out. But when, listen, the devil tries in an environment of unconfessing. He tries in an environment of unconfessing. When sin is not confessed. And when he says confessing sin, it means to acknowledge that you have sinned. The word confess means to say something in your mouth and let it be the same thing your heart is saying. That is, give voice to your heart. You have been shrieking in your heart. Your conscience has smote you. You did wrong. Say it. Lord, I have sinned. It's important to say it. Acknowledge it. Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me. Now, what does it mean to cover? To cover your sin is not to hide it from people. Hello? He said that covering his sin shall not prosper. It does not really mean that you don't tell that you have to. Is it that every time I sin, I have to look for someone to come and tell? That's not what the scripture is saying. So if I maybe lied, and then you have to call Pastor Jayola, Pastor, I just lied. No. That's not cover. Cover means to silence your conscience. You can cover it. You can kill that voice. Hello? You can do what? You can put cloth on that light. You see, that light is your conscience is telling you are wrong. You can take blankets and cover it. And you will not feel that guilt. Actually, the blood of Jesus is what's supposed to take care of the guilt. Hello? The blood is supposed to take care of the guilt. That's the purpose of the blood. When you confess, you don't know how it works. The guilt will go. But instead of you going to the blood, you don't want to acknowledge the sin. So you find a way that it is not my spirit that has sinned. It's my body. So my spirit is seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So it's not touching me. When you continue to say that, your conscience will go silent. And you can come to a place where your conscience becomes seared with a hot iron. Now, the scripture talks about some people in Romans chapter 1. He said they suppress the truth. King James did not give us the correct interpretation of that scripture. Romans chapter 1, look about, he said the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the righteousness of men. Look for that scripture in Romans chapter 1 as we begin to round up. Romans chapter 1.
and look for another version to give it to me. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. Look for another scripture. Is there another one? Is there another one? Look at it. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness, godlessness, and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness do what? Suppress. You can suppress. They suppress it. The thing is trying to say something, but they suppress it. The truth is that testimony, that lifeness within. You know, when you got born again, there is a way your conscience come alive because it has been purged. So it the same you that used to do some things before and it doesn't mean anything to you. When you get born again, there is life given to that thing, a testimony. So when that thing is saying the truth and said this is wrong, you can actually suppress it. Hallelujah. So you see how we give place to the devil. It is not because we sin. Because if any man sin, we have an advocate. But when you don't employ the services of your advocate, the advocate is capable. He is able to plead your case. Hello? He is able to plead your case. But when instead of you to shout and say, see, you know when you come to lawyers, they tell me the truth. Tell me what? Okay, yes, so you don't, that's, when you lie to your doctor, you know that you have killed yourself. So when you come, so the advocate wants to know the truth. Emimoshi, I did it. How do we, okay, well, this is your case. You cannot but be sentenced, but let's find a way of what? Reducing it. But when we, so he said, don't let the sun, I want you to say, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the sun, it's not just about anger, it means that be quick to go to the Lord in repentance. Be quick to go to the Lord in repentance. If you will not take anything out of this message, take that. Be always quick to go to the Lord in repentance. Once the sun sets, we now have to start doing a case of deliverance. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We now have to start doing a case of deliverance. See, our Savior is mighty. He didn't just give us redemption. He gave us his name. He gave us his name. And this time shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they do what? Cast out devils. In my name, they will cast out devils. See, this thing boils down to faith. How far the devil will have a ground in your life is one of two things. The level of your faith in the capacity of the blood to secure your redemption and the level of your faith in his name. Hello? Your faith in his blood will take care of your sin. Even if you have sinned, go to him. Hallelujah. And when you stand against the devil, you can stand against the devil in his name. He said, submit yourself therefore to God. Do what? Resist the devil. Before, we did not have the capacity to resist the devil. Let me tell you, how much you can resist the devil is how much of faith. When Jesus was on the mountain, and the man that had the son came to Jesus. Jesus was not around, and he met the disciples, and they couldn't cast out the devil. And when Jesus came, they asked Jesus, Master, why could we not cast out the devil? He said, because of your what?
Unbelief.
That has always been the case. Because of your what? Let's rise to our feet. See, there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot atone. There is no sin. As much as you still feel a remorse, hello, It means you are not yet a son of perdition.
That you can still feel, you still know that I have sinned. Let me tell you something. Anytime you do anything and you still felt that I have sinned, first thank God. Because that means that the door of redemption is still open, plenty for you. All you need to do is to ask. But if it comes to a point, you sin, and then you don't feel. See, it is not the wrath of the devil. It is the wrath of God. The wrath of the devil is a cash plate. Daddy was showing us that one. You see, the wrath of God. He said it's revealed from heaven. It's coming from the most holy place. That revelation, sure you remember, those seven angels that had the seven light vials. He said the temple of God was opened in heaven. That thing is coming from the most holy place. It's anger. It's anger. Because, oh my God. Can you just, I don't even know what prayer point. But what I want to tell you this evening is all I've told you. Lift up your hands to heaven and bless him. Just thank him. Just can you just thank the Lord for the redemption? Thank him for the redemption. Thank him for the redemption. Thank him because the blood of Jesus is able. There is no sin that is stronger than the blood. The blood of Jesus is able to take care of all our sins. Thank him for the blood. Thank him for the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, he will come and save. Come on, help me with that song. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary one, your God will surely come. He will come and save. Even if you are weak tonight, your Redeemer is mighty.
Message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. you can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.